There's this story that Nikki Gumbel tells as a part of the Alpha Course. And the Reverend Billy Graham had just finished a tour of the Florida East Coast and was taking a limousine to the airport. But having never driven a limo before, he asked the chauffeur if he could drive for a while. The chauffeur didn't really have much of a choice. After all, it was Billy Graham. What do you mean? So he got in the back of the limo and Billy took the wheel. So Billy Graham turns on to I-95 and he takes it up to about 90 miles an hour and wham, the blue lights come on. State Highway Patrol flashing in his rearview mirror. So he pulls over and a trooper comes to his window, and when the trooper saw who it was, he said, "Just a moment, please. I really need to call in." So the trooper goes back to his car and he radios in and he asks for the chief. And he says, "I have a really important person pulled over and I need to know what to do." The chief replied, "Who is it? Not Ted Kennedy again." The trooper said, "No, even more important. It isn't the governor, Jeb Bush, is it?" asked the chief. "No, even more important," replied the trooper. "It isn't the president, is it?" "No," replied the trooper, "even more important." "Well, who in the world is it?" screams the chief. Trooper responded, "I don't know for sure, but I think it might be Jesus, because his chauffeur is Billy Graham." I know, right? It's good to come to church and laugh. Thinking about rules, people in general, I think, in our nature, tend to try to rebel against rules. Even if you bump into a really type A introvert, like my wife, who loves rules, they only really like the rules that they like. Other rules that maybe make them uncomfortable or they don't agree with, they don't like those so much. In New England, we love to be pretty fiercely independent, don't we? We rebel against the notion of somebody else's rules being imposed upon us. And we also don't want their help, and we certainly don't want their advice. But we as Christians, we find ourselves living in this tension of being pulled by our own desires and our own will, and at the same time being called by the Spirit of God to submit to God's leadership, His laws, His rules, His precepts, His statutes, His help, and His righteous decrees. It's for our own good. Probably the biggest question I get from Edie right now when I tell her to do something is, "Why?" And the answer usually is, "For your own good." You might not understand it right now, but in the future, you'll get it. God's law is not there as a divine killjoy for us. It's there for our ultimate good and for God's ultimate best for us. Think about the law and the commandments of the Lord. Psalm 1, we talk about delighting in the law of the Lord. And we have Jesus here in the gospel today talking about the greatest commandment. Think about law in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments. When I was a kid, I used to watch the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, and you still see that flaming finger of the fire of God hitting the side of the mountain and emblazoning the commandments on the tablets of stone. Still hear Charlton Heston's voice in the back of my mind. Society and culture has decided that these are commandments, but if the right conditions are met, we can break them. The law of the Lord is not really truly the law. It's just truth for those of us that want it to be our truth, whereas somebody else can have their own truth and make their own laws. And it doesn't take very long for us to see what happens when there is no absolute truth, when there is no absolute standard. We can take some, we can leave some, we can appreciate the ones that make us feel good, the ones that challenge us or make us want to change, we can let go of. In the psalm today, if you want to turn your program to it, we're going to look at some of those verses. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. The word happiness here in the original language denotes a deep sense of fulfillment and completion, not just sort of that come and go feeling that we might define as happiness. It's much more than that in the original language. Verse 2, their delight is in the law of the Lord. Somebody delighting in law. How about that? When we think of the word law, we might think of something that's more restriction imposing as opposed to freedom giving. But the opposite is actually true with the law of the Lord, because it's in his law and in his keeping of his great commandment that we actually find his grace. They meditate on his law day and night. What do we spend our time on? The things that we find valuable. That's where most of our time goes. This psalm is describing somebody that meditates on God's law day and night. That's a lot. Someone's going to invest time learning about what God has to say, they must really have found something worthwhile and valuable. Verse 3, they are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. There's a lot of beautiful imagery and promises in here with regard to not trying to dodge God's law, not trying to dodge what he has to say, and certainly not trying to twist what he says in Scripture to fit what makes us feel comfortable. Happy, delight, like trees flourishing, planted by streams of water. Anybody that's done any gardening knows what it looks like when a tomato plant just goes because it has no water. And then you pour some water, and boy, they perk right back up, don't they? Usually. Jesus wants us to remove all the distractions in our lives. He wants us to be people of the great commandment and the great commission. The law of God endures forever. It stands to all eternity. It's not temporary. It's not decayed. It's not destined to pass away. It stands firm now, and it will stand firm forever, whatever gyrations humans might try to make. This is the law of God. We are called to be holy as he is holy in Leviticus. And without Christ, it's impossible. Jesus gives us this new commandment, right? In the gospel. He says, the greatest is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Those two commandments that he says hang all the law and the prophets. That all of the law and all the prophets are fulfilled within those two commandments. They encompass our upward, our inward, in our outward relationships. So if you think about your life for a minute, you have an upward relationship with Almighty God, right? And it probably varies from person to person. For some of you, your relationship with Almighty God is a moment by moment, you know, breathing in, breathing out, walking with the Lord step by step. For some of you, your relationship with God is, I need something, so I'm going to pray for that right now. Or maybe it's found in morning and evening prayer in a rhythm of life. Or maybe you connect on Sunday and on Wednesday. Or, I don't know, maybe you worship the Lord with contemporary music in the car on your way to work. You know, all these things are good things, but the upward aspect of your life is your relationship with God. The inward aspect is how you relate to people in the family of faith, in the church. Right? So if upward is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then loving your neighbor as yourself, your neighbor is found within the church, initially, and also outside of the church, but you know, our inward relationships, our inward aspect of relating is, are we connecting with other people? Are we praying for them? Are we bearing one another's burdens? Do we care? Do we live life as a good New Englander, never talking to anybody, never asking for help, or receiving any help? And then the outward part of who we are as Christians is, how are we reflecting the light of Jesus Christ to those around us that are not a part of the family of faith yet? How are we engaging the world on behalf of Almighty God? How are we confronting the culture when it deviates from Scripture? How are we loving the people around us that God has put in our lives to love? You know, you think about it, you might be the only person that is in someone's life that is obviously a Christian. And the Lord might have you there to be able to express His love and His salvation to them. It might not be somebody else. Even though there's other Christians in the culture, you might be in a unique position in your relationship with that person to be able to share the gospel with them in word or in deed or both. And so, as we consider the commandments of Jesus here, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, upward, and then inward and outward, loving your neighbor as yourself. That's a high calling. Jesus wants us to fan that flame of His holiness within us. He wants us to be like that tree planted by streams of living water. You know, initially we are not planted in the stream of life. We're actually, our roots are in essentially a stream of death. There's no way that we're going to make it. We're not going to bear fruit. We're not going to survive. We're not going to thrive unless by Christ God transplants us. Scripture says He's translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His beloved Son. And it's only then that our roots are in that stream of life that we can bear fruit, that we can be who we are called to be, that we are able to, by His grace, honor and keep these commandments and the law of God, that we might be people of the great commandment and reflect the great commission. So it's my prayer for myself and for all of you as we go forward, that we might be a church of individuals coming together, seeking to live lives of holiness, seeking to honor the law of the Lord, even delighting in it, that we might become people of the great commandment following the great commission. In the name of Christ, amen.
Amen.